This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9. As you're turning there, the writer of the Hebrews is preparing us for this redemptive work of Christ. In this verse, he has just warned the rebels and those who would go astray from the Lord, as he has in the preceding verses before that, 4-1, talked of a better covenant and witness. And so here is where I want to focus our attention on verse 9, and it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. But we see Jesus. This redemptive work is so important. It is important that we move from the general to the personal. I see Jesus. It's about understanding it from a personal relationship and witnessing ability that comes from that you've experienced in your own walk, your own talk, in your own life with the Lord. This redemptive work that Jesus Christ did, he did for whosoever will, for all mankind, regardless of his color, his creed, his country, or his concerns. Jesus died for all. When we begin to look at this word again, I want us in practical application to look at it so much so that it will help us, both those who are saved and those who are unsaved, for those who are unsaved to come into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but then for those who are saved to maximize on the benefits of being saved. You see, one of the problems with us as Christians is we're saved and not much more. We'll shout the glory, I've been saved, I've been sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But do we have the benefits, the blessings, the power, the authority, the anointing that goes with being saved? Jesus didn't just save you to save you. He didn't just save you from hell and to live on earth and then die and just go to heaven. When he saved you from the power of hell, he saved you to turn your life around immediately, and with eternity already in you, he wanted you to be able to do the things of eternity, to be able to walk in authority. Use that authority. Destroy the kingdom of the enemy. Build up the kingdom of God. He wanted you to operate in the things that he has given for each and every believer to be whole. We are complete in him. That's why there's so many Christians who are not whole, because they don't see Jesus other than as a savior. They don't really know him as Lord. They don't see Jesus in the fullness of his power and person. They basically see him as a savior, and therefore seeing salvation as the only gift that he brings to us. But so far is that from the truth. So first of all, the word says, but we. And this we crowd represents the believers together who have witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ by way of salvation and experientially the benefits and the blessings of being saved. When he says, but we see Jesus. This word see has several definitions. One of the important things is that it says to see in and through the mind's eye. We don't look and see Jesus in bodily form with our natural eyes. Jesus has been away from this earth physically over 2,000 years ago. If you think you've laid eyes on Jesus in the flesh, you got him mixed up with Jesus. You'll catch that on your way home. Jesus is not walking in the earth realm today in the flesh. So then it begs to reason, how can I see him? I'm glad you asked. This verse reveals three ways that you can see Jesus. The first way that you can see Jesus is through faith. One, because we weren't there. Is there anybody, I want to just poll the building for a minute. Was there anybody, or is there anybody here today that was at the cross? When Jesus was crucified. If you stand up, I'd like to have a little interview with you if you don't mind. Is there anyone who was with him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came and got him? Was there anyone there when he went through all of the trials illegally? Was there anyone with him when they put the cross on his shoulder and made him carry it up to Calvary? Was there anyone there who's here now? No. So how then can you believe this except by faith? The songwriter had it right when he says, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by what?
Faith.
I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the days. Now listen at this. In order to have that kind of joy that the songwriter is talking about, you've got to see Jesus. See him for yourself. Now look at this word. Look at this word, because this part says, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. By faith, we believe this. First of all, he was made a little lower than angels because, one, when you see Jesus, you got to see him in the complexity of his wholeness. First of all, he's the only begotten of the Father, which means that he is the Son of God as the Son of God, there's no way he could suffer and die. So God needing someone to go man's way to prepare and redeem man, Jesus took on the form of human flesh and became, listen, the Son of Man. Now, when it talks about him as the Son of God, that's his deity, a deity. But when he talks about him as the Son of Man, that's his humanity. It is only through his humanity was he able to come down here and beat Satan at his own game by being with sin, yet without sin. Sin was all around him, but sin was not in him. And because of that, he was the most worthy sacrifice God could use to redeem mankind. So because of that, it's important for you to see him in the role that he plays as the Son of Man. Yet God didn't use man, but rather mankind by way of a virgin as his mother. And he brings him into the world system, now making him qualified to be human flesh and to be among sin and sinners, and yet choose not to sin. So he was tempted in all points like as we, but without sin. Listen at this. It's important to understand that as our great high priest, he has experienced everything we've experienced, but without sin. If you want to know how to make it through, talk to Jesus. If you want to know how to handle temptation, talk to Jesus. If you want to know how to submit and surrender yourself to God, talk to Jesus. And he'll give you instruction and inspiration on how to handle everything to make you the best Christian that you can be when you see Jesus. So we've got to have faith in him. Faith in application. In other words, we've got to apply that faith to the Word of God to understand that what he did for each one of us. Here's the glory of the gospel right here. If no one else but you would have accepted Jesus, everything he did to save this entire world, he would have done all over again just for you. Just for you. Just for you. That's why you ought to see him in faith. You ought to know that if he'll do that, what else won't he do? If he'll do that for you, what else is he willing to do? And so when you see Jesus for who he is, then you stop having pity parties. You stop becoming the victim and become the victor. You stop being the whiny baby and becoming the winner. You stop feeling sorry for yourself and start saying, I'm more than a conqueror. You stop feeling bad because you've been knocked down and say, I might be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Don't count me out of the fight. I'm still in it to win it. Your whole attitude changes and becomes more Christ-like through faith. The woman with the issue of blood didn't get her situation fixed till she saw Jesus. When she saw him, she was able to enact her plan. She had to see him before she could touch him. Y'all catch that on your way home. Another word for see is discover. Experience. but we experienced Jesus. We discovered Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, it's not until you make that personal discovery, have that personal experience, that you will be able to walk in authority and have the benefits of a believer and to understand Jesus in all of his glory the way God wants you to. So we see him by faith. Made a little lower than the angels. For the suffering of death. I can't begin to tell you the power that's in suffering. And all of the suffering Jesus went through for each one of us. That was the suffering before the death. The death would have been enough. But it was in the suffering that we got a glimpse into the fullness of his character and his love for us. He had to die for us. But did he really have to suffer like he did? And the answer is yes, he had to do them both to put us in right position and condition with God. So that through his suffering, every stripe, was placed on his back for a purpose. Everything that was done, from the pulling of his beard, the thorny crown on his head, the spitting, the slapping on him, the mistreatment of it, everything that he suffered through, he did it for you. Because he knew no sin. And so it is in this suffering, Paul says in the third chapter of Philippians, that I might know him. In the fellowship of his suffering, that I might know him. Because here is the truth of the matter. You never really are able to know a person completely until you've seen them down. Until you've seen them suffer, until you've been with them in their hurt, their pain, and all of the deep-seated issues of life. You don't really know a person till you've seen them suffer. Yes. Suffering reveals so much about a person, about their character, about their strength, about their abilities, about their resolve. Suffering reveals so much. You don't really know anybody till you know their sufferings. Show me somebody who has suffered. Show me their story through their suffering, and I'll tell you what they're made of. Because I've got news for you, my brothers and my sisters. Suffering brings the realness out of you. You ain't got time for phoning or fake when you're suffering. You don't want the pretenders, the performers. You don't want the haters. You don't want all of the folk around you with all of the verbiage, but have no conviction. You don't want folk that aren't what they're supposed to be around you when you're suffering. And I got news for you. They can't stand to be around you. Because listen to this. They recognize that they don't have what it takes to go through it. And so they run. They avoid it. Because they don't have that inner strength to stand it. So my brothers and sisters, we see Jesus by faith. But secondly, we see him by focusing in on all of the wonderful things that we adore about him. God adorned him with a crown of glory and honor. And when we focus on him, we adore him for all that he has done and meant and shared for our better being. We adore him because we realize what he gave up. He became poor that we might become rich. He died that we might live. He went to hell that we might go to heaven. You begin to realize and adore him for all that he has done and for all that he is and for all that he means to the believer, and you begin to glorify him and honor him in a whole new light. Because if it had not been for Jesus, who was on our side, tell me, where would we be? What would your life consist of without Jesus? And so we begin to adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Won't you put your hands together right there? When we adore him, show him our appreciation. Give to him the honor that he so richly deserves. It changes us. It changes us. When you see that what you can be is because of him, it makes the difference in your life. Now listen, my brothers and sisters, not only do we see him in faith, and when we focus on the adoration of him and what he has done for us, but we also see him in fellowship. We see him in fellowship like none other. Listen, when somebody says they know me and I don't know them, they don't know me. Man, I know John Montgomery. Yeah, but I asked him, did he know? He said he didn't know me. Man, yeah, he know me, man, from way back. But when he called your name and I don't know who you are by your name, I don't know you. And if I don't know you, guess what? You don't know me. Now let me help you understand that. You've heard the young folks say, you can't see me. You've ever heard that term? Don't sit up here and act holier than thou. You can't see me. Now, when they generally say that, they mean you're looking at me, but you don't know what you're looking at. You don't know the realness. You don't know the real person underneath the skin. When they say, you can't see me, it literally means that there is a depth and profundity underneath the skin that you can't identify. Don't read the record wrong. You can't see me. That means you have misinterpreted and been misinformed about what you're looking at. And a whole lot of folk have looked at Jesus and didn't know that what they were looking at was what they were looking for. Y'all gonna catch it sooner or later. Everything you've had true need of in this life, it's been through Jesus. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your conqueror. He's your Lord. He's your helper. He's everything that you have need of, and you can't see him. That's why you turn to this person and that person, to this substance and to that substance, to this thing and to that thing, when you ought to be looking for Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And it's in fellowship with him. Listen to this. He knows everything there is to know about you. One, and he still loves you. That's shouting news right there. Because there are some things you know about yourself you don't love. Not if you be real about it. And yet there's everything about your life he knows, and in spite of that, he loves you. He loves you with your sometime man. I'm going to keep it holy. He loves you when you're up, when you're down, when you're right, when you're wrong, when you're sweet, when you're bitter. Every way you can imagine it, he loves the sinner. Hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. And because he knows that, listen at this, it's a miracle that he wants to have anything to do with us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My brother, my sister, what a joy. Because before we accepted him, before we started walking right, talking right, living right, he'd already decided he loved us with an everlasting love, a real love, a pure love, a genuine love, a true love.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.